Hello everybody, welcome to Shift Church. This is being streamed live on Facebook on Wednesday evening, and it's good to have you with us. If you're live, say hello in the comments stream, and it's also available as podcast and catch up on YouTube and Facebook. So welcome to you wherever, whenever you are listening, watching. You're a part of the Shift Church community, and it's really great to have you with us. My name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints in Wellington and St Catherine's Eyton. And good to be here. We've got a couple of other folk with us here on screen tonight. We've got Lynn. Say good evening, Lynn.
Good evening, Lynn.
And Liz. Say hi, Liz.
Hi, Liz.
Yeah. Good.
I
was just saying to these guys before we started that I'm feeling a bit rusty because I've not been for a couple of weeks. Had a bit of a break, and so now I'm working, trying to remember everything I'm meant to do, and I'm also trying to follow David for 2 weeks. And I suspect his banter and jokes at the beginning are more bantery than mine. So if you're on the stream and you've been here with David the last couple of weeks, Lynn shaking her head, that fills me with confidence. You can tell us what terrible jokes David's been sharing with you.
I've only been on once, I think, went with David.
Oh, there you go. Were there terrible jokes?
I can't remember.
There usually is. It's
not good if you can't remember.
Hi, Alice. Hello, Charlotte. Lovely to see you. I think there's a few people, but I can't see everyone's names yet. So, yeah.
Yeah, Liz is saying hello to people keeping an eye on the stream all evening. If you're here with us live, you want to say hello. If you want to ask questions, if you want to make comments, contribute to the conversation, ask for prayer, whatever. Liz will pick those up. And if you're not with us live, if you're catching up later on, do drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll feed your input into next week. Or at least I'll pass, because I think David's on again next week. We're like alternating now. He'll pick it up. I'll send it to him. He can pick it up. Mm-hmm. Sure. That's all good.
Hi, Ali. Oh, Charlotte says David's been awesome. So there you go.
Good. Excellent. I'm quite sure how to take that. I should take it well.
Well, you're awesome too, so that's fine.
You've got to say that though.
Too.
That's good. I'm afraid all my banter, it's too hot for banter. That's what I've decided.
It is.
Yeah.
We're all just a bit saps your energy. Here.
Yeah, we were saying that. We were all a bit wilty. A bit kind of...
I'm sunburned yesterday from working in the community garden. The back of my neck is pink.
Yeah. Yeah, I got sunburned just sitting in outside Gratitude Cafe this morning.
I'm redhead. You're fair. So that's not surprising.
Yeah, the sun was just beating down. There was no cloud at all. So I got a bit...
You weren't wearing your new hat, were you?
No, I was not.
You need a floppy hat.
I have got one.
A floppy hat.
But I don't really tend to wear it to Gratitude Cafe.
Why not?
It's a beach hat or a kind of sunbathing hat.
Yeah, but it's very sunny.
It's not sort of something that you wear in a street. It looks strange.
Why not? I wear my hat.
Ali says you're awesome too.
Well, there you are. Thank you very much, Ali. I feel much better now. Anyway, this evening we're continuing our thinking about Jesus and do you know him? And we're thinking particularly about Jesus the revolutionary. And one of Jesus' most famous bits of teaching in the Bible is called the Beatitudes. And it's a whole load of things where Jesus talks about the kingdom of God and how it turns our expectations and perceptions of what's important are upside down. So we've got a bit of a video spoken word thing to start this session with. It's a bit longer than normal, but I think it's good value. It's based on those Beatitudes, on those things that turn our perceptions upside down. So let's just take a minute to take a breath. Wherever you are, if you're out walking the dog, washing the car, at work, just take a breath and be aware of God's presence. And just let these words soak over you, sink into you. Here we go.
Do you want to know what it means to be winning at life? To succeed? To be fulfilled? Complete? Blessed? Let me relay the words of a man who had some answers. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who are spiritually skint, out of pocket, but know it. They're in the red, maxed out on all their moral credit cards, but don't act as if their statement reads loaded. They know that when it comes to thinking, speaking, and being perfect, their credit rating is way off. But guess what? They Google debt advice and they look for help. These are the ones who receive the perfect rule of heaven and all that brings with it. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who grieve, those who mourn, those who know how it feels to be broken and helpless. Those who come face to face with their own fragility, mortality, and vulnerability. Those who take a selfie and plead that the person in the picture makes better life choices. I'm telling you, these are the ones who are going to know comfort beyond words. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who don't get sucked into the dog-eat-dog world, who don't throw their weight around or step on others to get ahead. Those who don't take matters into their own hands or bulldoze their way through life and don't treat every minute of the day as a me-focused marketing campaign. They're gentle, not soft, not flimsy, not pushover, gentle. They bank on his plans in his timing. These are the ones who will inherit all that cannot be bought. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who don't take injustice lying down. Those who hunger for justice and treat righteousness like food and water, in that it's daily and we cannot live without it. Whose lives are all out committed to the campaign of truth, honor, and love. Those who represent the downtrodden and oppressed. Those who fight their corner, but guess what? They're not doing it for votes or constituencies. They're not forcing their own policies or agenda. It's not about them. It's not about their interpretation of what's right. Since when are we perfect? Instead, they submit themselves to the perfect code and let that guide their actions. These are the ones who will be filled to complete satisfaction. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who cut others some slack. Who don't get the kicks from the consequences others face, but who, given the opportunity, deal out a hand of second chances. I'm telling you, these are the ones who will be greeted with second chances when they deserve what's coming to them. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who get vain about how they look on the inside. Those who spend hours in the mirror to get their heart just right. Who see the need for the inner gym. Those who condition their mind so it's in shape and get told in purity. These are the ones who will see what their vision cannot display, i.e. him. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who diffuse confrontation. Those who don't go looking for trouble, but when they do find it, they don't end up locking fists with faces. Instead, they find a way to resolve conflict. These are the ones who'll get child of God permanently stamped on their passport. You know who's blessed? You know who's winning? Those who get slammed for holding on to what is honorable and true. Like I said, these are the ones who receive the perfect rule of heaven and all that brings with it. So what does it mean to be winning, to be blessed? Well, these are some words that Jesus spoke. So what do you think? Are you winning? Are you blessed?
Wow.
It is good, isn't it?
I thought that was really good. There were some really good lines in there. I'd like to watch it again.
Yeah.
And kind of think about it.
Yeah. I'll put a link to it on the Facebook group. So if you're already part of the Facebook group, you can go and have a look at it there. If you're not, do drop us an email or a message and we'll add you to the group, and then you can catch up on some of these resources there and have a chat about them.
Yeah,
that'd be really good. And now we've got some Bible readings. Liz, are you reading from Isaiah for us? Is that right?
I think I'm doing the Isaiah one.
Lynn's doing Isaiah. You see, I told you I'm rusty. I've not been here.
It's the two owls.
I know, we sound the same.
So where are we in Isaiah, Lynn?
Have you asked? I can't remember either. It's 6 to 12?
Which chapter?
58.
Oh, Isaiah 58.
Is that right?
I presume so. I can check.
We're doing well this evening, everybody.
Yeah, that looks good.
The heat has definitely fried our brains.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have to say before I read it, that when Tim asked me to read this, I hadn't seen the sermon. I didn't watch the service on Sunday. And I got the email asking me to read this. And this particular passage of scripture has meant a lot to me for a long, long, long time. It's one of those passages that you've got underlined and written in a lot in your Bible, like forever. And I was like, wow. So I can't promise not to get choked up when I read it.
Right.
Okay, Isaiah 58, starting at verse 6 to verse 12. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loosen the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with a pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your life will shine in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings.
I think it's me getting choked up. I love that one as well.
Yeah. To be honest, I think if you don't get a bit choked up reading things like that, then that's because you've got too used to it.
Yeah. Well, you can read the whole thing, really, because I think Margaret mentioned in her sermon, to put it in context, you have to sort of read what just comes before it. But I'll let her say that.
So, Liz, what have you got for us?
I have got Luke 4, 14 to 21. I think that's right. Luke 4, 14 to 21. Jesus rejected at Nazareth. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Was there more? Did you want more?
No, no, that's okay. There's plenty, plenty for now. You can always go on and read a bit more later if we need to. Mm. So, yes, as Lynn alluded to, we've got a guest speaker this evening. Margaret is got a video of Margaret speaking on Sunday, commenting on these passages. And if you've got questions or comments as she's talking, do put them on the stream. And we'll pick them up as we go and when we're talking afterwards. So let me get this video going. Here we go.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, help it to challenge us and encourage us and show us the way that you want us to go. Amen. So we've been looking at a series called Do You Know Him? And today it's Jesus as a revolutionary. Now, I decided then, I actually want to know what revolutionary really means. I looked it up in the dictionary and it says, favouring the nature of revolution, especially in government, one who takes part favours a revolution. A revolution is great upheaval, complete change of outlook, social habits, circumstances, radical change of government. Now, if I said to you about a revolutionary, I wonder whether what your picture would be. And I decided that my picture would be actually of somebody with a gun. It would be not a gentle revolution, but something quite violent. And I was sort of thinking of people like Hitler. He actually was a revolutionary, if you think about it, what he did to his society. Of Stalin. Well, do they fit with pictures of Jesus, of the Jesus that you worship? Certainly don't fit with my picture. And then I went on and I thought of Mother Teresa, who worked among the dying. Of Gandhi, who worked without violence to release India from British colonial rule. He was working gently. And the other one that came onto my mind was Rosa Parks. You may or may not remember that in Montgomery, she's a black woman, she refused to give up her seat to a white man. And that sparked off the boycott of buses by the black community in Montgomery. And then it also led me on to think of Martin Luther King, who had that, "I have a dream of seeing all people free." That's the revolutionary person I believe Jesus is. They were moulded in Jesus' steps, if that makes sense. So maybe you have heard of Jesus as a revolutionary. I think most of us think of him as a teacher, of a miracle worker, of a friend of outcasts. And also there's that precious Jesus, meek and mild. And then we have that, one of the carols it said, "And Jesus, no crying he made." No, that isn't the Jesus that we should be worshipping. And in fact, if we go through the gospel and look at Jesus' actions, that more fit the title of a revolutionary. Going into the temple and overthrowing the tables of money changers and driving them out of the temple, that's not Jesus meek and mild. And then in telling them, his teaching upset people. As Dave was saying with the Beatitudes, that's God's upside down kingdom. And the parable of the Good Samaritan, using this parable to talk about loving other people outside your own race, outside your own friends. And it's the person, a despised Samaritan, who comes to help the traveller and Jewish people have walked past him. And so we have the, if we go to the reading in Isaiah, where it starts, it's telling them off. But actually, I want to look a bit before that, because if we look at, if you're looking at reading, one of God's complaints about the people, where they were not, they've been told to come back and rebuild the city, and they thought they were doing right spiritually. They say, we have fasted, we have humbled ourselves, we have not noticed it. And then goes, God says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife, and they strike each other with wicked fists. How do you expect me to hear? They thought they were doing right. And it's a bit like the Pharisees, if you think about it. There's that lovely story that Jesus told of the Pharisee and the publican. The Pharisee says, oh God, how wonderful I am. I thank you. I'm not like that awful person over there. I do this, I do that. And he goes off thinking, yeah, pray, that's great. And the tax collector, thinking an old version, it says publican, not the publican that we think of. He just says, sort of, God, forgive me. And Jesus said, that is the man who goes away. Been put right with God. He doesn't want all these sort of spiritual things that the Pharisees were doing. And so the people of in Isaiah's day were exploiting the poor, the widow, the foreigner. And God is more interested in their actions than in a sort of, if you like, in a kind of spirituality that actually doesn't carry on into life. So he says, is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked to clothe them and not them to turn them away from your own flesh and blood? And so there's a revolutionary society. I wonder how much we are participating in doing these things. So Isaiah would have upset the righteous people of that day in the same way as Jesus upset the Pharisees by what he said. And in our gospel reading from Luke, we have Jesus quoting from another chapter in Isaiah, Isaiah 61, and is basically declaring, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if you know about it, remember about his baptism, we have in fact the demonstration of the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Jesus as he comes out of the water. And I suspect they didn't really like him saying that. And so he has his job description. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. The revolutionary king is coming in to build a revolutionary kingdom, if you like, an upside-down kingdom built on these values. And they all thought he spoke very nicely. Yes, that's lovely. It's a bit like people go out the door and saying, thank you, Vic, a nice sermon. And you stand there thinking, I don't think you've heard what I've said. I don't think you've heard it at all. Because I think if you did, you wouldn't quite be saying nice sermon. So, and it says, all spoke well of him, all amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Well, it's interesting because the gracious words, they weren't quite, that wasn't quite the interpretation that maybe we would put on them. Because if you go to the end, if you remember the end of the reading, they actually want to kill him. So actually, they weren't quite so happy. Why did that do that? Well, when it says they're amazed at the gracious words, it was more likely they were astonished that God's grace was for them all, because they very much saw themselves as God's people. Great. But actually, they wanted to put a hedge around it. So they were God's people. And if we're not careful, I believe as Christians we do that. We come into our buildings. I mean, it's amazing, people are sitting out there. Isn't it a pity the weather isn't always good, so you could always be outside, as you can in some countries? But we tend, if you like, to huddle in our buildings so people can't hear us, see us, and then we go out and we get rather diluted in the people we're around. So they were cross that God's grace was for everybody. Why was it for everybody? They longed for God to condemn everybody else. And I wonder sometimes when we're a bit like that, in that somebody had perhaps done a great crime. Yes, kill them. We want vengeance, if we're honest. If people's done, if someone has hurt us, we perhaps secretly would like to hurt them back, whatever. It's very difficult, isn't it? And that's what they wanted very much. They didn't see that God's grace should extend to everybody. And Jesus had realised they weren't really listening. So he goes on to point out about prophets not being accepted in their hometown, which of course he wasn't. But then he says, you know, in Elijah's time, when God set up the heaven, there wasn't rain for 3.5 years. What did Elijah do? He went outside the people and he went to the widow of Zarephath and supplied her so she was okay for that famine time. God blessing a widow of Zarephath, that can't be right. Because she's not a Jew, so it can't be right. And then he goes on about Elisha healing Naaman, who was the commander of the Syrian army, commander of the opposing nation. Well, how come that God blessed Naaman, that Elisha was healed? Oh, that's not right. And that's why they were so angry with him. And that's why they threatened to kill him. And of course, in the end, they did kill him. So being a revolutionary doesn't always lead to a nice life. So God's love is for everyone. How willing are we to take that on board? That person that makes us really, really uncomfortable, says perhaps some vile things. How prepared am I to try and get alongside them and try to share God's love? How prepared am I to do it? I don't know. Don't I really want to do that? That's not easy. And think of the violent reaction there was to George Floyd's death. But then think of what happened from that, the Black Lives Matter campaign, and how it's made most of us far more aware of the way that minorities, if you like, have been treated. Yes, it's made us sit up and think. And as Christians, we need to recognise that how countercultural Jesus' message is, that God's kingdom is an upside kingdom. It's not the values of the world. As Christians, we need to speak out a great injustice. We need to help those in need, etc. Jesus very much challenged the established order. He reversed the priorities of human hierarchies. We see in the outworking of the early church, in the beginning of Acts, we have the believers shared everything in common. They sold things. They shared. And one of the good things that came out, particularly the first lockdown, was the way that people actually helped other people, the way people began to take on board the need for food bank and that sort of thing. That's been a tremendous outcome. But that's a sort of upside-down kingdom. Out of something that was horrible, as something good has come. So how content are you by the way things are? Do you want to see change? God's kingdom, as I've already said, is an upside-down one. It was thought in Jesus' day, if you were rich, then that was a sign of God's blessing on you. If you were poor, that was your problem and you weren't doing what God wanted you to do. Well, we know that's not true. But that's reversing things again. And I've been reading a book, and it's about somebody who's in the early 1820s, who is what's classed a pauper, but realises, very much a radical, a revolutionary in her own way, which is very difficult because very much, if you're in the other classes, those down there should know their betters and therefore they shouldn't challenge their betters. But it's only by challenging them that things are changed. And I believe God calls us to challenge systems. And it's also such a blessing to share with others, to be able to give to others. and to be able to receive. God blesses us when we bless other people. So are we prepared to be revolutionaries? Are we prepared really to love our neighbour as ourselves, which we've been told to do, in today's me society? How prepared are you to follow Jesus as a revolutionary king, not as meek and mild, but as a revolutionary king? Remembering it caused him his life, and it might well cause you some friendships. It's hard, really, being a revolutionary in the right way. So Jesus disturbed the society of his day. How prepared are we to disturb in the right way today's society?
That's a great question. How prepared are we to be disturbed and to disturb today's society? Do put any comments or questions you've got on the stream, or if you're not with us live, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, or put it in the Facebook group to take part in the conversation. So I wonder what from those struck you. Liz?
There was lots of really good stuff in that. I really like how she reminded us that Jesus isn't just the meek and mild kind of king that we see in the Christmas carols and things like that, but that he had a profound power about him, a profound strength that really disturbed the prevailing narrative in that time. And he claimed those words from Isaiah for himself, the Isaiah 61, and that would have really riled people, ruffled up their feathers, because those words they would have seen as applying to, the Messiah, the chosen one. So he's there saying, well, look, this is me. So yeah, he's laying that out. So he certainly wasn't that kind of gentle, meek and mild. And the other thing I really liked about what she reminded us was when she talked about the early church and how they really sort of encapsulated those revolutionary ideas that Jesus kind of taught them to, because the way that they lived was so, it was so contrary to what the society, societal norms were in that time. They really showed that love in every way, and they invited people into their homes. And I remember reading about how in Rome, in the early church in Rome, there was this massive plague that went through Rome, and most people in Rome just sort of deserted, but the church stayed and ministered to the sick, even though it cost them their lives because they were catching the plague. I remember that just really striking me, that they put themselves aside to love their neighbours and to care for them. And I think that kind of sums up what Margaret was saying, really, about what we should be thinking about doing as well. Yeah. It's a tough call, though.
And Lynn, what grabbed you?
Well, I've got a show and tell, as it were. Ooh. It would be short. This is a patch on the back of my jacket. I hope you can read it all. Oh, it's come out backwards.
No, that's good.
For those of those Rebel who are listening, it says Rebel for Life.
Okay, yeah. It says Rebel for Life, and it's a patch given to me last year by someone in XR. And it was given to me in that context, but I wear it all the time on the back of my jacket, because to me, it applies to all of my life. And the Rebel for Life is that I'm rebelling. I'm a revolutionary or a rebel for life, rather than death, and for life. Mm. I think if you're living by the principles that Jesus taught us, we're all rebels for life. Mm. So we can all wear a patch like that. So, be proud of being a rebel. And I must, as I said, I listened to this sort of a day late after you'd given me the reading on Monday, and I'm glad I did, because I was sitting there going,
yes,
it's in so many places. Mm. I mean, there are, it's like she said, it's upside down. The principles he was putting forth were upside down, upsetting society. But I think, I mean, there are more than the examples she gave of people who upset the society. I mean, I think of, in, say, Nazi Germany, she says Hitler was a revolutionary, but he was a dictator. And the society there, the government, the society was perfectly willing to exterminate an entire race. Plus, let's not forget, homosexuals, disabled people. I mean, that's 2 out of 3 gone off this screen. If you lived in 1930s Germany. But some Christians in Germany, we know from their writings and writings about them, stood up for the Jews. Dietrich Bonhoeffer springs to mind.
Yeah.
But that wasn't all of them, you know. Well, where were the rest of the Christians? I think some might have been guided by fear to sort of kowtow to the political system that was in place. They might not have liked it, but they did it. And sometimes the political system that we have in power is, in a moral sense, judged by God's standard, just plain wrong. Mm. And what do you do then? You know, as somebody asked Jesus, do you obey God's law or man's law? Mm. And sort of that from Isaiah sort of roundly says, God's law. And I think sometimes we have to challenge the status quo and change the whole society. And that might sound a bit revolutionary, but we're called to be revolutionary.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything particularly coming on the comments or questions coming, Liz?
There's a few things. I think I might have missed some things because my phone wasn't picking up any. So I went out and then in again. So I found some. Sorry if I've missed.
I'll have a look.
Ali says, we're called to live a countercultural lifestyle of forgiveness in a world that demands an eye for an eye, not always easy. Mm. Yeah, that's true. And Emmy says, as I was looking at this, I was wondering, how do I explain revolution to my young daughter? It reminded me, Poppy and the Trolls, I guess that's a book. The movie. I don't know. In both the movies, Poppy approaches problems with others with friendship and love, even when everyone around her advised her to stay at home or fight. I was struck by how I could use this to explain to younger children how Poppy was being like Jesus, person of action, offering friendship for those considered her enemies.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Sounds good book.
It does.
And I was struck by something Margaret said towards the end in another, something with another group, Green Christian, and the subject of forgiveness came up. It was like, who do you find difficult to forgive? And I was thinking, I find politicians difficult to forgive. Trump springs to mind, or... people who know what is right, but state what is wrong, and then sort of sell what is wrong because they want to make money or power, and that is difficult to forgive for me. Mm. Because they know the right, but they do the wrong.
Yeah, and Alice reminds us here that we need to be prepared to not follow the expected path. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world.
Amen, Alice.
Yeah, that is a really important point. But it is not always easy.
It isn't.
We're so much pressing in on all sides around us, and so much, you know, Yeah. To be like the world.
I think, yeah. I mean, that brings together something for me that I've just been pondering on as I was listening, is that Jesus, in the upside down kingdom, it's outward looking and inward looking. So he's calling us to make a stand for justice and be that kind of force for revolution, for seeing things from a different direction in the world. But the only way we can do that with integrity is allow the Holy Spirit to turn our worlds inside upside down as well. So
yeah.
The only way we can forgive those we're angry with, our enemies, those we are almost those who we're wanting to foment revolution outside, is by allowing the Holy Spirit to cause revolution in our hearts. Because it's only then that we can actually argue and stand up for justice and righteousness and all those kind of things without it coming from a place of bitterness and anger. It brings those two things together. It's not easy necessarily.
Yeah. It's not. It's standing out against the sort of prevailing message, isn't it? Emmy says she thinks the hard part is that some people won't like Jesus' message because it's a message of non-conformity.
Yes. And some people just don't want to hear. I mean, I'm thinking back to sort of the news yesterday as I watched it, and there's all these people saying, oh, I can't have the wedding I want, it's ruined and everything. And I'm thinking, you can still get married. You can still love the person you want to be with. You just can't have all the bells and whistles and everything. But some people are just fixated on the bells and whistles. And it's, as Margaret said, you kind of sold this fluff, basically, that, you know, something has got to be
perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Mm. All the bells and whistles and everything. And it doesn't, when you pare it down to the essentials, which is what marriage is all about. It's the love and the promise you make between two people and God. But unfortunately, people don't see that. And people, whole sectors of society, the pandemic has forced them to close. You know, we've seen shops, Debenhams, VHS. We've seen big shops shut. And, you know, it's forcing society to say, we don't actually need that to survive. But people are fighting it tooth and nail. They want to go back to the normal they had.
Yeah. It's all very challenging. The other little image I had in my head, because I've always thought of Jesus the revolutionary as this upside down kingdom is turning things upside down. But I was talking to someone the other day, and they gave me another thing of the turning round. So it's almost like, do you know, they probably don't have them anymore. They probably only have them on model railways. There's like railway turntables where where a train drives up in one direction and they sit on the turntable and it turns them round so they can go in the other direction.
Yeah.
Anybody who's seen Thomas the Tank Engine?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wonder, actually, something that is revolutionary turns you round, and actually something about the world or me heading in one direction, which is the wrong direction, and God saying, no, you need to stop. I'm going to turn you round so you can go in a different direction, which is better for you and better for the world. That might be another way of kind of thinking about it. So yeah, good chat there. If there's any more comments or thoughts, do continue putting them.
Yeah, there was a couple more comments about forgiveness, like what we were talking about that kind of standing out against the world's way of doing things. But Charlotte was saying it's very, very difficult to forgive people who know what they're doing is wrong, like abusers. And Ali's saying, you know, it's helps to forgive knowing God is all-knowing and all-seeing, and he will deal with the person. So it's about God's justice as well.
Yeah. And sometimes we can be honest with God and say, I can't forgive that person. And And actually, the prayer isn't forgive them. The prayer is, please help me to come to a place where I can even think about forgiving them. And you kind of take it a stage at a time.
Yeah, it's about being honest before God and not trying to force something where the feelings are not there, but also knowing that God will, there will be justice, you know, that God will take it seriously and does take it seriously.
Okay, well, we're going to continue just having some space to reflect on this idea. We're going to have some music. So just listen to this, watch the words, sing along if you like, and just reflect on this idea of what it means for us to be follow Jesus the revolutionary, and for our lives to be turned upside down and round as well, which isn't always comfortable. I hate roller coasters. Tabitha went to Alton Towers yesterday and she really loved it, but I hate it. I particularly held waltzes where all you do is go round and round and round.
I like a waltzer.
Anyway, let's have some music.
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, breaking new ground. You are breaking new ground. So make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I can't make me an offering.
Lynn, I think you've got some prayers to lead us in. And if you want to put your own prayers in the comment stream, Liz will be able to pray those on the stream for us. And just join in.
Okay. Lord, we pray for the future of British farmers, already hit by Brexit and now by a trade deal with Australia. They face an uncertain future and further stresses. We know that in some cases it has driven them to suicide and their mental health is suffering. We just pray, Lord, that you will be with them, that you will bring justice to their situation. Lord, we pray for the discussions that happened at the G7 summit. We pray for bold, practical commitments to tackle climate change and injustice as we rebuild from the pandemic. Lord, we know there will still be much more to be done. We pray for leaders to build on the decisions made, increasing their ambition and turning talk into swift action. God of life, our planet is dying. We are responsible for the destruction of species and ecosystems. Save us for our death-dealing systems that rely on fossil fuels, that strip mine the commons, that convert your natural world into cold, hard cash. Give us wisdom and courage to find new ways of living. Empower our children who are striking for the climate. Shield all who work for a healthy environment, particularly Indigenous earth protectors. Gift COP26 with robust and workable solutions to mitigate the very worst effect of climate disruption and climate injustice. We pray for an uncertain future for everyone, for our neighbours, our town, our country, the world. Help us to be bold and advocate an upside-down world where the values we hold dear are those that Jesus gave us, not the false economy of greed that we have built. We pray, Lord, for those we know who are sick, who are struggling. We just name you before them in our heart. We pray for those who have lost loved ones these past 2 years. We pray for those who have lost their job or their house or their situation has been impacted some way. Some of us have struggled to have access to healthcare because of the delays in the NHS system. We pray, Lord, that we can help bring about a better future for not only for ourselves and our church, for our town, and for all mankind. We just pray, Lord, that you touch those who make decisions to make the right decisions. Change the hearts of the people, Lord. Amen.
We pray for ourselves as we feel your Holy Spirit's challenge, turning bits of our lives upside down and challenging us to turn round and see things in a new way. We pray that we would respond to that challenge with obedience and faithfulness and see things as you see them, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And I pray that you will help those of us who struggle to forgive when we feel that the hurt written upon us of many years. I pray that you'd help us to let go and to give those people up to you and to find freedom, Lord, in just letting go. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to people here tonight, and just by the power of your Holy Spirit, just show them how much you love them and how much your heart is towards them. And I pray that you'd turn upside down any narratives that people have felt here of being not enough, not good enough, or of just anything that that they've been struggling with. I pray that you turn it around, that you flip it around. And I pray that you just touch people's lives here tonight. Amen.
Amen. So, Jesus the revolutionary. Very good. Mm-hmm. We're coming towards the end of Shift Church for this week. Another hour gone. Where did that go?
I know, right?
It's like thinking it's nearly midsummer. It's soon it'll be closer to next Christmas than last Christmas. Where did that half year go? Who knows?
Anyway, sorry, I'm reading the thread because we're having a lot of talk about forgiveness. It's really good.
Excellent. Great. Continue having that. If you've got half a ear, listen, but if not, don't worry about it too much. We, across the kind of congregations and folk involved in All Saints, either locally or wider afield, we're doing a bit of work trying to, particularly as we come out of COVID, thinking about how we can help people in their walk with Jesus and their discipleship. One of the things that really we're trying to do is get a bit of an understanding of where people are at the moment. So we're running a couple of surveys, and it'd be really helpful if we could all fill those in. One of them's quite short, one of them's a bit longer, and it might take a little bit of thinking to do about it, so you might need to put a little bit of time aside to do it. But we'd be really grateful if you would. I'm going to put the link to those on the Facebook group. If you don't have access to that, let me know and we'll invite you onto the Facebook group. I think that's probably the best way to do it. It's also on our normal All Saints webpage. So yeah, that would be really helpful just to get this baseline understanding of where people are in their discipleship, how they think the things we do in and around All Saints help, and that'll help us think what we can do even better. So that'd be great. Next week, David's with you, and it'll be the last one, I think, of Do You Know Him? We'll be thinking about Jesus the Choice. And then we've got 4 or 5 weeks when we're looking at creation care and Christian stewardship of creation and stuff, all things environmental and things like that. So that'll be really good. So any last thoughts, Liz?
No, I think we've sort of come to an end now, but yeah.
Cool.
From me, or sorry, did you mean from the thread, or
you actually? But that's all right.
Okay. No, it's just been lots of food for thought tonight. Really, my brain's ticking over.
That's all right.
But in a really helpful way. So yeah.
Great. Any last thoughts from you, Lynn?
No.
Okay. Well, say good night, Lynn.
Okay. Good night.
Say goodbye, Liz.
Goodbye, Liz.
And it is. It's goodbye from me as well. So have a great week and God bless. Bye.
Bye.